Live all across the United States and Canada and around the world, we're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and I want to start the broadcast today with some somber news. The news that evangelical Christianity lost one of its most eloquent, one of its most influential voices Saturday at 3:12 p.m. That voice was the voice of Chuck Colson. He was the founder of Prison Fellowship and the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. And he was one of the greatest testimonies to not only God's power to forgive, but God's power to redeem and transform. And Chuck was just that. He was a redeemed, transformed man, used by God in the most powerful of ways to reach people across the globe. And I can tell you, he had a profound impact on my own life. I'll never forget being in my kitchen one day, the phone ringing, and it was Chuck Colson. That conversation inspired me to write the Prayer of Jesus. I can remember one day walking into my office and seeing Chuck Colson sitting there in a suit and a tie, and I had forgotten about the meeting. And once again, he inspired me to do something I would not ordinarily have done. I remember him calling me one day and asking me to fly to Chicago for a meeting. He wanted some advice. And he asked me a question, he answered the question, he asked me another question, he answered the question, and then he thanked me for my help. But that was Chuck Colson. He was one of the most inspiring speakers I have ever heard. And the epitome of that for me was when he presented a message called The Enduring Revolution. It was September 2nd, 1993, in a ceremony connected with the Templeton Prize. And it was at the University of Chicago. I was there. And I'll never forget that message. Chuck was in his early 60s, just as I am now. A sobering reality, because 20 years later, he is with the Lord. Really makes you think, makes you recognize that every moment in ministry is precious. And that day, he said, he spoke as one transformed by the power of the living, resurrected Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Chuck said, at that time, he has lived in me for 20 years. Of course, now it has been 40 years. Chuck said, the presence of Jesus Christ is the sole explanation for whatever is praiseworthy in my work. The only reason for my receiving this award, of course, he was speaking there of the Templeton Prize, and he gave the entirety of that to Prison Fellowship. That day, prophetically, he spoke about the four great myths defining our times, what he called the four horsemen of the present apocalypse. I remember him saying that the first myth is the goodness of man. That myth deludes people into thinking that they are always victims, never villains. Always deprived, never depraved. It dismisses responsibility as the teaching of a darker age. It can excuse any crime, because it can always blame something else. A sickness of society or a sickness of the mind, always something else. And then Chuck spoke about the second myth of modernity, the promise of a coming utopia, the myth that human nature can be perfected by government, that a new Jerusalem can be built using the tools of politics, a message that resonates today. Because if we do not do what Chuck did with his life and hope that government will do it for us, we are deluded. That day, 20 years ago, Chuck spoke about a third myth. I remember it well. It was the relativity of moral values, the myth hiding the dividing line between good and evil, noble and base. It has thus created a crisis, he said, in the realm of truth, when a society abandons its transcendent values. Each individual's moral vision becomes purely personal and finally equal. Society becomes merely the sum total of individual preferences. And since no preference is morally preferable, anything that can be dared will be permitted. 20 years ago, again, Chuck Colson underscored a fourth and final myth. And that is the modern myth of radical individualism, a myth that dismisses the importance of family, church, and community, denies the value of sacrifice, and elevates individual rights and pleasures as the ultimate social value. Chuck was profound. He was prolific. He made a difference while there is yet time, and Chuck Colson will be sorely missed. One wonders where the next Chuck Colsons are. Those who have the courage of conviction, those who have the competency to speak clearly with eloquence, beautiful articulation. One wonders where in evangelicalism God will raise up the next Chuck Colson, because God surely knows that we need one. God does not need us as human beings, but He condescends to use us. And we should pray that He raises up more like Chuck Colson. I've lost a dear friend. The church has lost a statesman. Again, pray for not only Chuck's immediate family, his wife Patty, but pray for his ministries as well. God has used him in a powerful way. His rewards are in eternity. He has laid up not treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, but treasures which are in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. And he is now in the very presence of the Lord. He is absent from the body, present with the Lord. And one day, his soul will return to a resurrected body, and he will live in a renewed universe. And his rewards will become reality. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. The number is always to dial to get your question answered. 888-ASK-HANK translates to 888-275-4265. First up is Daniel in Brooklyn, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
All right. I just got to say thank you for your ministry, and thank you for promoting such great men like Chuck. That was definitely a great loss.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and also a great man like Vishal Mangalwadi. Just on a side note, he has a Facebook page, and one time a few months ago I asked him when would you go back on Hank's show? He said, well, he would love to be on your show sometime soon. So hopefully you guys can hook that up again.
Yeah, I'd love it. I just wrote an endorsement for one of his products just last week.
Mm-hmm. Already. To the question I have, I was doing some Bible study today. I'm on vacation from work, so I can get some deep Bible study and some reading done. And one of the scriptures I came across is Proverbs 19, verse 21. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevails. And I wanted to ask your opinion on an application of that scripture, and particularly in the area of raising a family and having many things to do, but also raising so much children. I know you have 9. I think you said you adopted 3 of your own. So one of the questions I want to ask you is, how do you juggle all of the responsibilities you have and such a large family at the same time?
Well, I mean, I have to give a lot of credit to my wife, obviously, for being a helpmate that causes all of this to work like a Swiss watch, although sometimes it looks like Swiss cheese. More holes than cheese. But no, I mean, honestly, it's the combination of two people working together. And my wife has talents that I do not have, and I have talents that she does not have. And if God would make both of us identical, one of us would have been irrelevant in the relationship. But certainly, that's not how it worked out. So our gifts and talents are definitely being used within the context of the family. But, you know, the Christian life is always a life of balance. And it's never a matter of time. It's always a matter of priority. And so you've got to take the time you have and prioritize it and use it wisely. For example, a lot of times when I travel, almost all the time when I travel, I take one or two of my kids because I get to spend that individual time with those kids. And in the process, we build an identity and a memory. So I'm really, what is the word for it? Multitasking in that circumstance, and I can tell you my wife is better at that than I am. But as to the particular verse that you ask about, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. I think of the passage in Proverbs that says there is no wisdom or counsel or understanding against the Lord. The horse is made for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. So we make our plans, but the Lord directs our paths. And ultimately, His plans prevail because His plans are perfect. And that's why we pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, my will, but thy will be done, because we only see a snapshot of time. God sees the panoply of our lives. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dan. He's listening in Seattle, Washington on KCIS. Hi, Dan.
Hi, good afternoon, Hank, and again, sorry for the loss of your friend. It's nice to have a good friend like that.
Well, it's a loss for the Christian world.
Yes, it is. I agree. I had a question. I ran into a couple today. They didn't come to me. I just kind of met them, and they're Jehovah Witnesses, and they said, oh, do you go to church? And you know, they started harping on right away that Jesus is not God, that He didn't exist at creation, and that, you know, there is not going to be another heaven, it's the earth. But my primary question is, I know you're an expert in this area, is just 2 or 3 primary ways, you know, to begin a rational conversation is because they throw the word A into John 1:1, that Jesus was just a God. But then in Revelation 14, where it says that the 144,000 are men, because I asked them, I said, do you think there's any women that are in heaven of the 144? And they said, well, of course. I said, well, but Revelation 14 says it's just men that haven't, you know, been with women, you know, in an illicit way. And they said, well, you're reading it wrong. Could you just maybe address that in general for me?
Yeah, I sure can, and I may have to address some of it after the break because I only have a minute to do so right now, but let me give it a stab right now. The Watchtower actually teaches that only 144,000 people will make it to heaven. The rest of the faithful will live apart from Christ on earth. So from their perspective, the tickets have all been sold. You can't make it to heaven anymore. So in their view, there's a little flock of 144,000 who get to go to heaven, a great crowd of others who are relegated to earth. The heavenly class, they're born again, they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they partake of communion. The earthly class does not. And to substantiate these kinds of revelations, they don't exegete the scripture, but they look to flashes of insight from their principals and predominantly their founder, Russell. The 144,000, however, means something entirely different from a biblical perspective. And unfortunately, not only the Jehovah's Witnesses get this wrong, but many Christians get this wrong as well. So as soon as we get back from the break, I'll address specifically the issue of the 144,000, then we'll continue taking your calls as you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
When you give to support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, you have a lasting impact on the lives of believers seeking a firm foundation for their faith and skeptics searching for God with an open mind. In appreciation of your ministry support this month, we would like to send you an audio CD of some of our most meaningful and encouraging calls. Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word. The calls in this collection will surprise you, inspire you, and give you the tools to stand firm on some of today's most crucial questions of faith. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And when you give, don't forget to request your copy of Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word on CD. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We'll be back in a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. What Bible Answer Man broadcast has touched you most, answered a question that had bothered you for years, or given you a fresh insight into God's truth? At the Christian Research Institute, we've gathered some of our most meaningful and encouraging calls onto one audio CD, Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, and we'll send it to you as our thank you when you partner with us through a gift of ministry support today. On Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, you'll hear Hank answer questions from people of all ages and all situations in life, each with their own stories and earnest desire for biblical answers. With your faithful prayers and support, you enable us to continue to provide those answers. So please, send your gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken?, Hank counters the contentions of Bible critics and shows that belief in the Holy Scripture does not stem from wishful thinking. Rather, belief logically flows from an honest examination of the evidence. Order Has God Spoken? For your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and my continued response to Dan from Seattle, Washington, with respect to witnessing to the witnesses. We're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses who believe that there is a little flock of 144,000 who get to go to heaven and a great crowd of others who are relegated to earth. But the 144,000 and the great multitude in reality are not two different peoples, but two different ways of describing the same purified bride. Literarily, the 144,000 and the great multitude are comparable to the lion and the lamb. Now remember, John is told about a lion, and then he turns and he sees a lamb. And in the same way, he's told about the 144,000 and turns to see a great multitude. And therefore, the 144,000 is to the great multitude what the lion is to the lamb. In other words, the same entity seen from two different vantage points. From one vantage, the purified bride is numbered. From another, she is innumerable, a great multitude that no one can count. Now, it must surely stretch the credulity of even the most literalistic Jehovah's Witness beyond the breaking point to suppose that 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,001. Why? Well, to begin with, 10 of the 12 tribes lost their national identity almost 3,000 years ago in the Assyrian exile. The other two, Judah and Benjamin, were largely decimated 2,000 years ago by the Roman hordes. And the pattern of Scripture is to refer to the community of faith, whether Jew or Gentile, with Jewish designations. And you find that throughout the book of Revelation. So in reality, the 144,000 represent true Israel, people from every tongue and language and people and nation, just as it was intended to be, in perfect symmetry, providentially sealed. And we see this because when you read Revelation, it is a virtual recapitulation of Ezekiel. So Revelation is not a book of riddles perfectly suited for a post-Christian mind, but it is a book which is rooted in Old Testament language. And if you look at it as such, you will find that we're talking with the 144,000 about a purified bride. Again, from every nation and tribe and people and language that will step over Jordan into a new Jerusalem prepared for her from the very foundations of the world. It's a limitless great multitude of all whose names are written in the book of life and all who will inhabit the courts of God for all eternity. So we don't have two groups, two classes. There's only one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by a cross and beautifully illustrated by the Apostle Paul as a cultivated olive tree. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Allison in Oklahoma, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Hi, Allison.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good. The question I had, I've been a Christian for a while, but I really haven't gotten into the Bible like I should, and I don't know where to start. So I just want to, you always talk about so much history and things like that, and I don't know where to begin.
Well, you know what I would like to do is send you a legacy reading guide. In that legacy reading guide, what I have is the Bible written in such a way that you can read it for all it's worth. And what I mean by that is the writings are presented not in the order that you find them naturally, but rather they're presented in an order that makes a whole lot of sense in terms of the actual reading of the text. So, for example, in April, you read Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel. When you get to December, you read the four Gospels. Before you've read the four Gospels, however, you've read the epistles. And there's a reason for all of this, and you learn to read the Bible not in bits, but you learn to read the Bible in books according to genre or form, and then also according to author. So I've got all this laid out in a legacy reading plan that gives you a plan and a purpose for how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Okay, that'll be great. And also, I have a child, too, and what's the best way to start with children presenting those ideas about God on their level? Is there a good way to do that?
Yeah, and what I'd like to do, how many children do you have?
I just have one. He's young, but okay. He's just
how old?
Just 19 months old.
Oh, 19 months old.
I just want to prepare, you know, just to get, you know, I want to be prepared to teach him, too. So.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will send you a little something as a gift for your child as your child grows up, and it'll be a book which deals with the prayer of Jesus, but it's written for young kids.
Okay.
And so I'll send that to you, and you have that as a gift for him when he gets older, but that'll get you started in the right direction.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You get it. Hang on so our people can get your information, and we'll send it out to you.
Great. Thank you.
You got it. Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mark. He's listening in Baltimore, Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 131.
Hi, Hank. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question regarding the rapture. You did mention one time in one of your broadcasts I was listening to, that the rapture, the proper interpretation of, I think it's Thessalonians 4:17, is that we should take that as a metaphor rather than literally. The line that says we will meet the Lord in the air. Now, I just wanted you to elaborate more. Why should we make the interpretation as metaphor rather than take it literally? That's really all.
Well, the point here is, first and foremost, that this does not have to do with a pre-tribulational rapture at all. It has to do with resurrection. And you know that by context, where Paul says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So this is a great and glorious passage on resurrection, not a pre-tribulational rapture. So my point simply is that nowhere in this text do you see Jesus Christ coming down, hovering in midair, and then having people come up to meet him, then reversing directions and taking them to heaven during the tribulation, and then coming back on a second time. Rather, what you have literally here is that the Lord will descend with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. So far from a secret coming, this is what happens when Jesus appears a second time. As far as the language itself is concerned, what Paul is communicating is not that Jesus comes down and reverses direction, but we meet him and we take him back to our village, as it were, because this is precisely what you get when you interpret Scripture in light of Scripture. It's not as though heaven is up there someplace It is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And John sees this on the island of Patmos when he sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, and he saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And then he hears a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." So far from this being some kind of a platonic reality, this is a very physical reality. This is this universe transformed. It now groans in travail, and it is awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. That's what we hope for. And along with that, we have our physical resurrection. So this is language that is rooted in reality, and we dare not take our own mythological, stereotypical beliefs and force them on the Bible. Rather, we should learn to read Scripture in light of Scripture.
Very good. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines and talk to Aaron. Aaron is listening in Georgetown, Kentucky on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Aaron.
Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I am a new Christian. I actually just baptized yesterday. And I'm trying to study the Bible. I've got a life application Bible. Wanting to know if that's a good Bible and how do I study the Bible. I mean, I read it in a lot of it. I'm sorry to say this is mumbo jumbo, but under it, under the passages, it tries to tell me what it means. Is that a good way to study?
Yes, I think what's really important, however, is to learn to read the Bible for all it's worth. And what that means is first you want to understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, and then the Bible is not going to be mumbo-jumbo to you, but it's going to open like a fragrant rose. And as a new believer, newly baptized, what I'd like to do is send you as my gift a flip chart which gives you the principles. And the principles are actually given in a memorable format so that you can learn the principles, and then for the rest of your life as a believer, as you read the Bible, you can apply those principles. Because if you don't, you're absolutely right. The Bible can appear to be nothing but nonsense. If you don't recognize that when Jesus says that he is the bread of life, he's using a metaphor, doesn't mean that you should taste the Lord and see that he is good in the sense of eating him physically. It means that he is the essence of life, not the staff of life or physical bread. So you're right. Unless you understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, you're going to be confused by what you read as opposed to being edified and equipped by what you read. So again, as a new believer, I want to put this tool into your hands just as my gift.
I do appreciate that.
Well, you hang on. I'll get it out to you, and congratulations on joining the family of God. And I love what you said. You were baptized. And baptism is not the means by which you are saved, but it is a visible means by which you have been set apart as a follower of Jesus Christ. You have visibly said to friends and also to those in the world that you're no longer your own, that you have been bought with a price. You were buried through baptism and raised to newness of life. The one that came out of the water is a new creation in Christ. And from now on, you get to take up your cross and daily follow him. And one day in resurrection, you will be restored just as though you had never sinned. You will live in a resurrected body in a resurrected universe, which seems to be the theme for today. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Don't touch that dial.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. What Bible Answer Man broadcast has touched you most, answered a question that had bothered you for years, or given you a fresh insight into God's truth? At the Christian Research Institute, we've gathered some of our most meaningful and encouraging calls onto one audio CD, Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, and we'll send it to you as our thank you when you partner with us through a gift of ministry support today. On Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, you'll hear Hank answer questions from people of all ages and all situations in life, each with their own stories and earnest desire for biblical answers. With your faithful prayers and support, you enable us to continue to provide those answers. So please, send your gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. What Bible Answer Man broadcast has touched you most, answered a question that had bothered you for years, or given you a fresh insight into God's truth? At the Christian Research Institute, we've gathered some of the most meaningful calls onto one audio CD, the ones we believe will help and encourage you the most. And we'd like you to have it as our thank you when you partner with us through a gift of ministry support today. On Straight Talk, Answers from God's Word, you'll hear Hank answer questions from people of all ages and all situations in life, each with their own stories and earnest desire for biblical answers. With your faithful prayers and support, you enable us to continue to provide those answers. So please send your gift today and receive your copy of Straight Talk on CD. Call 888-7000-CRI or give securely online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Stephen. He's in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, listening on WTRU. Hi, Stephen. Hello, Stephen. Are you there? I guess Stephen is not there. We'll go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Scott in Kearney, Missouri, listening on KAYX. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how's it going, Hank?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right, best I can be. My question is, I'm 20 years old and I'm in college and I'm a Christian. I'm just trying to prepare myself for eventually finding a wife. And I know that God hasn't given me the gift of celibacy, but yet I try to remain in His Word and live according to His commands, but keep struggling with temptation, especially when it comes to sexual sin. And, you know, I know how important it is to be as godly a man as I can someday for my future wife, and I just don't want to be that guy that chokes in the end because he couldn't control himself. I just didn't know if you had any thoughts or suggestions.
Yeah, the best suggestion I have is a book by Joe Dallas, and it's titled The Game Plan. It's the men's 30-day strategy for attaining sexual integrity. And while it might sound at first formulaic, I can tell you Joe Dallas knows what he's talking about. It's probably the best book on the market in this area. No one understands the subject better than Joe Dallas, and nowhere is there a more biblical and user-friendly game plan for Christian men like yourself committed to reclaiming moral purity. So I think this is a resource that you should really get.
And then also, just I can't remember the exact verse, but when it says... I'm having a brain fart now, but just if you love me, you'll keep my commands. And, you know, I believe that I love God, but, you know, I know we're not perfect here, and sometimes it's really hard to truly understand forgiveness and to be able to accept it. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice. I mean, that's exactly what you read in Scripture, particularly passages like Psalm 51. So ultimately, you have to recognize that God sets these parameters around your life not to be a cosmic killjoy, but so that your joy might be complete. I think you sense that already because you're talking about sexual purity because you want to be a great husband and a great father going forward. So you have the right priority and principle in mind, and that's the issue. And, of course, countless men's lives are being ruined by sexual sin. It affects virtually everything in infecting, corrupting, and devastating. It destroys relationships, families, lives. And therefore, when we are in a situation where sexual temptation rears its ugly head everywhere, and the internet has made it easier and easier to get in the into the trap of sexual sin. It takes more than a little effort for men to resist temptation. It takes a plan, and that's why I recommend the book.
Sure. All right. Thank you, Hank.
You got it. Hang on. We can make sure you get it. We'll be right back. Let's go right to the phone calls, and we'll talk to Tina next in Henderson, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Tina.
Hi. I am so glad I got through. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I am thoroughly confused about whether or not people can be saved and go to heaven after the rapture.
Well, that's probably because the whole notion of a pre-tribulational rapture is confusing, and I think confused. I don't think the Bible teaches a pre-tribulational rapture. I think the words of Jesus Christ ought to be clear, concise, and what we base our biblical views on, and that is, Jesus said, do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned, which is to say, when the Lord Jesus Christ appears a second time, everyone is going to be resurrected. That means everyone. So I don't think that you should suppose that there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture in which some go to be with the Lord, and then they return in a second coming with Jesus Christ, and then people are saved after the second coming and so forth. The Bible doesn't teach that. That's an idea that came about in the 19th century and is popular today, but it's not historic Christianity. And the fact that it's new doesn't mean it's not true. I've said many times on the broadcast, it means that we should examine it carefully and see if there's any biblical warrant for it. I haven't been able to find any.
So you don't believe that there's going to be a pre-trib rapture? You think we're all going to live through the Great Tribulation?
Well, the timing of the tribulation is another matter. So there's a fault in the presupposition there. I don't think the Great Tribulation that the Bible speaks of is something that is future. I think it's something that's already occurred.
And who are the martyrs then?
The martyrs in Revelation chapter 20?
Uh-huh.
You know what I would suggest, because this is sort of a disjointed series of questions. I don't mean that they're bad questions. I simply mean that without a context, the answers aren't going to mean a lot to you. So I think you have to understand what the Bible actually teaches with respect to what happens in the book of Revelation and recognize that Revelation is letters written to seven churches in the province of Asia in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. And in that context, the Apostle John makes very clear that with wisdom and understanding, the people in that epoch of time who are going to be martyred and killed will be able to discern the number of the beast and the number of his name. And that in itself should be a clue that this does not have to do with the 21st century. It has to do with the first century. Because how can someone in the first century, with wisdom and discernment, discern the number and the name of a 21st century beast? Obviously, John is talking to his audience in the first century. And this is a principle in general that all of the Bible was written for us, but none of it was written to us. Revelation was written to seven churches in the province of Asia. Romans was written to Roman believers in Rome. Corinthians to the Corinthians, Ephesians to the Ephesians, and so forth. So all of it is for us, but none of it was written to us. As far as the timing of the tribulation or the meaning of the millennium is concerned, I wrote about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Also, I would tell you this, that if you hear about a pre-tribulational rapture, that's one thing. But you ought to test it in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Find out where the pre-tribulational rapture is taught in Scripture. Or at least where people think it's taught in Scripture, then go to that passage and see if it's really taught in Scripture. The people that are most prominent today in that field of thinking, like Tim LaHaye, will tell you that you'll find all the available clues in passages like John chapter 14 or 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, or even in Revelation chapter 3 with the church at Philadelphia. But when you go to those passages, you find very little about a pre-tribulational rapture. In fact, I would say nothing. You have to read it into the text as opposed to extracting it from the text.
Okay.
But anyway, again, I've written about this. What?
I said my research cut out for me.
Yes, exactly. And as I said, I wrote about this in my book, The Apocalypse Code. And that book will also give you a primer on how to read the Bible for all it's worth, or as I like to say, mine it for all its wealth. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Dan in Gig Harbor, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Hank. I've got a son who we raised in the church, and he's 33 now, and he's abandoned everything that he was taught scripturally, and he's following a fella that wrote a book, Conversations with God. And, you know, I pointed out to him all of the scripture that I could, in that, you know, one of the signs of the last days was many will be deceived. And I just feel that he's in deception. I was just wondering, how do I communicate to him without him feel that I'm preaching at him?
Well, I think you ought to have a discussion. And I think you need to do it with gentleness and with respect. And sometimes it's very difficult to have this kind of conversation with your son unless he's open. If he's not open, love him. And if the door opens to communicate, use that doorway, walk through it, and communicate. But to do that, you have to be equipped. So in this particular case, Neil Donald Walsh, in Conversations with God, is affirming reincarnation. You would be reaffirming resurrection. So what I would do is become equipped to demonstrate that resurrection is not something that you believe as a result of blind faith, but rather hold to because of faith in irrefutable fact. In other words, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not mythology. It's theology based on reality. You also should be equipped to demonstrate that the Bible is authoritative, because in Conversations with God, you're going to have exactly the opposite communicated to you as propaganda. You have Neil Donald Walsh saying that most of the New Testament writers never saw Jesus Christ. You have to have a response to that. He says about Hitler, the mistakes Hitler did made no harm or damage to those whose deaths he caused. So he says really radical things that sometimes, if people recognize, wow, this is supposed to be a conversation with God, and the mistakes Hitler made did no harm or damage to those whose deaths he caused. Wow, maybe this guy isn't operating in a real world. But bottom line, you have to be able to contrast an Eastern worldview with a biblical worldview, and that takes work. So I would say this, be prepared, always ready to give an answer. So I'm more concerned with equipping for evangelism than even evangelism. If you're equipped, God will use your well-reasoned answer in the appropriate time, not only with your son, but with other people as well. So again, the big deal, be equipped, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you're hanging on, please be patient. If you're dialing in, do remember the number in the United States and Canada for the next hour to call is this number, 888-ASK-HANK. Again, the number for the next hour, 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology.
To order memorable keys to essential Christian doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.